Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, friends, and welcome to a new episode of our radio show, Friends Talk with John, after a few weeks on hiatus. My name is John McCormick, and I am your host. This is an informal forum for friends to come together and discuss topics and or share random thoughts. Although I will suggest topics at times, everyone is welcome to suggest a topic as well. The show tonight will be in a couple segments over the next 30 minutes. The show will eventually go back to 60 minutes or longer in the near future. I created this show so friends that may never get a chance to meet in person can at least talk to each other here. It's like the next best thing. We get to put a voice with a face. I want to just say how grateful I am for all my friends I have made online through Facebook and other social networking sites, and I want to thank each one of you for being a friend. Well, it's now time to get the show started. You have two options. You can choose to just listen to the show via your computer, or you can call in to join the live group discussion on the air. If you call in, you will hear the show from your phone. The listener dial-in number is 646-595-2058. That's 646-595-2058. Or if needed, you can call the toll-free number at 1-888-488-4526. That's 1-888-488-4526. So please call in now to be connected. Thank you in advance for listening to the show and to anyone who may call in. So please call in now.
I did want to mention that I did have a scheduled caller that was supposed to call in tonight, but I just was informed that he just had a death in the family. So he's not going to be able to call in for this 30 minutes. So the show may not go 30 minutes. It may end up just going 15 minutes or so. And then next week we'll get back on track there. Unless someone is listening and they would like to call in, that would be wonderful. I always love when we get callers. I did want to mention, you know, tomorrow is going to be Easter. So what I wanted to do, while we're waiting to see if we do get any callers tonight, I wanted to play, it's an Easter song, but it's kind of a funny one. So here it is, and then we'll be right back.
Easter time is here again, and it's the day we celebrate, the morning that the Easter Bunny rises from the grave. And if he sees his shadow, then it's 6 more weeks of winter. If he doesn't see it, everyone gets Cadbury cream eggs. And he never sees his shadow, thank the Lord. Moses and the Hebrews never celebrated Easter. They were busy building pyramids and matzah for the Greeks. So that night they set the Pharaoh's clocks ahead 1 hour, and they all escaped, and that's why we put colored eggs in baskets with jelly beans and neon plastic grass. Plus there was that final supper with the 12 apostles, but the word in Aramaic for apostles is a peeps, and that is how they got the name for those marshmallow treats. So every time you eat those little yellow chicks and bunnies, you actually are swallowing apostles. So that's the Easter story, even though we didn't mention anything about the burning bush or chocolate-covered folks. You might want to do a bit more research on the details, 'cause in truth I mostly slept my way through Sunday school, but at least I'm pretty sure that's how it goes.
I know that was a silly song, and we are back. But it is funny, though, and kind of sad how a lot of people, many Christians, have no idea what Easter is about. I mean, usually it's the younger generation. I do see that we do have a caller if they wanted to identify themselves. Oh, okay. Well, hopefully they'll be able to contact soon. They may be having a connection problem there. But hopefully we'll find out who our caller is. I did want to say, you know, with Easter, I was just wondering if anybody, you know, who would like to call in would like to talk about what their plans are. Unfortunately, I do live 2,500 miles away from my family, so I don't actually get a chance to see them and and celebrate Easter with them. But there is a wonderful church here in San Francisco. It's called Glide Memorial Church, and they do a lot of great things for the community and for anyone in need. They provide three, well-balanced meals a day to anyone that's hungry, medical treatment, free medication, help them with housing, even if they want to get their back to work, they help them with that. It's just really amazing. And so I'm really am proud of that church, and I like to go there on Easter. So that's what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. I'm going to be spending some time at Glide Memorial Church. And, yes, it does motivate me to know that that's the day they have the fried chicken and all other kinds of great things for everybody. It's not just for the homeless. It's for all the guests that are coming there, all the people in the at the church. So, anyways, I was just wondering if the person that called in, if they're still unable to contact, or can you identify yourself? No, I'm still not hearing them. They must be definitely having a connection problem. But I did want to mention, you know, it's also spring, and I don't know about how you guys are doing with allergies, but I never really had allergies. And now that it's spring, I am just sneezing constantly, just really having a difficult time. And so that's one of the things I don't look forward to about spring. But what I do look forward to about spring is that the weather is clearing up, it's getting nicer, and I'm looking forward to going back to hiking again on the beach. That's what's so wonderful about San Francisco, is that they have beautiful beaches, beautiful hiking trails, just a lot of wonderful things that you can do here outdoors, and of course everything is scenic and just beautiful. So that's what I'm looking forward to doing. But if anyone else gets a chance to call in, I would like to know what your Easter plans are and what you're looking forward to the most about spring being here. We can always come back to that later on in the show. But maybe what we'll do is go on and just go to the next topic. But before we do that, I did want to mention to everybody that if you are listening and you haven't called in yet, please do so now. The listener dial-in number is 646-595-2058. That's 646-595-2058. Or if needed, please call the toll-free number at 1-888-488-4526. That's 1-888-488-4526. So please call in now to be connected. And I just wanted to check if there's anyone out there that's connected right now that would like to introduce themselves. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes. Hi, Cal. How are you?
Oh, doing fine, you know.
I know you have a difficult day, difficult time. And I did mention earlier in the show that I did have someone scheduled that was going to call in, but I wasn't sure because of, you know, a family matter. So, Well, I was just wondering, I mean, with what's happened in your family and everything today, are you actually going to be able, you guys have any plans at all tomorrow, or is it just all just getting preparation and everything for your, you know, for your family member?
Well, Easter is actually going to continue. We're still going to do it, so, no.
Okay. What do you guys usually do for Easter?
Well, just we get together at a relative's house and have a meal and just, you know, spend a few hours together.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure this year will be a little bit of reflection about things in your family and,
definitely,
you know, with everything that's happened and everything. But, you know, the other thing I was talking about earlier, too, is about, you know, the spring. I don't know about you, but this is like the worst year for allergies for me. And I never thought I ever had allergies until this year. And how's that with you? I mean, do you have, like, any allergies yourself, or has this been a crazy year for you, too?
I have allergies all year round, so.
Oh, you do? Oh, gosh.
I got an allergy for each season, so.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have a great friend who has a year-round allergy, and that is of his cat. He didn't know that when he got the cat when it was only just 6 weeks old. But as the cat grew and he had him and kept him, he started developing a really severe allergy against, you know, the cat. But, you know, he never got rid of that cat, and that cat's going to be 10 years old next month. So, you know, he just takes medication for it and vacuums a lot and, you know, tries to keep the place really clean from the dander and all that. But, you know, you can't just get rid of an animal just because you're allergic to it. That's what I think, you know, because they it's not their fault. It's not their fault. Well, you know, what I wanted to talk about this evening, the next topic was about, well, first what I want to do, I wanted to play, it's a recording of a short story that I wrote. It's called Target of Obsession, and it's really about someone really crossing the line as far as being obsessed with someone, but also almost like a stalker. And so I'm going to play that, and then when we come back, I'd like to spend just a little bit of time, you know, talking about that. So we'll, here it is, and then we'll be right back.
Target of Obsession by John S. McCormick. Leave me alone, Jeremy screams into his phone. I swear I will call the police. Kathy calmly responds back. It's never going to be over, hon. We are stuck together for life until we die. Remember, I have all your personal information, sweetie. That's it. I'm calling the police, Jeremy threatens. Go ahead, dear. I plan to call mine, too, Kathy says, still speaking calmly. Flashback 18 months. Hi, Jeremy. Are you really from Minnesota? Unfortunately, I am still here. I wish I was in Los Angeles like you. I really like your posts and comments in Mike's group. Hope we can become friends here, Kathy writes in a personal message on a social networking site. After messaging each other many times and realizing they had so much in common, Jeremy decided to become online friends with Kathy. However, immediately after doing so, he started to become concerned about knowing her. Can you text me, love? Kathy asked Jeremy one day. Jeremy never gives his phone number out to people he barely knows, so he was hesitant to give it to Kathy. He used an excuse. I hate to text and prefer sending personal messages online. But she was persistent. I'm going to be away from my computer while I'm out of town. I would love to be able to still stay in contact with you. So Jeremy broke down and texted Kathy, which gave her his phone number. It went from texting to Kathy calling him often. He began regretting giving it to her and knowing her in general. Hun, give me your address. I want to send you something, Kathy texted. It's a recording of a show that describes what I went through with my brother. Kathy had shared that she was sexually abused by her brother as a kid. Jeremy felt very uncomfortable, her asking this, so he quickly said, tell me what show it is and I can watch it online. Kathy continued trying to get Jeremy's address by always wanting to send him something, but he managed each time to come up with a believable reason not to have to give it to her. Then one day, Kathy called Jeremy saying, sweetie, I know it's your birthday next week, and I want to send you something you can really use. I just need your address to send it. Finally, Jeremy was stuck. He had no excuse not to give her his address, so he gave it to her. Days later, he received an expensive set of cookware, which he didn't need since he never cooks, and she knew that. Then the gifts kept coming. There was a potato ricer, books, chocolates, a CD of her favorite musical, and she even mailed him homemade chicken soup when he had the flu. But it was when he received one gift that he got confused. So he asked her why she sent it. I bought both of us the same color blanket. When we use them at the same time, it will be like we are together, snuggling. You know you are the husband I never had, Kathy explains in a personal message. This really confused and concerned Jeremy. He had no desire to be intimate with Kathy. Soon after, Kathy's mood and personality started to change. One day, Jeremy received a frantic text from Kathy saying, I need you. I'm so upset. So Jeremy called her, and she said, I am an awful person. I just hurt a good friend that I now feel I lost forever. You don't want to know me. I will just let you down like I always do everyone I know. Confused and concerned, Jeremy tries to respond supportively. Kathy, I'm not sure what happened, but I know you are a good person. I'm sure you and your friend will work it out. Damn, I do it every time. I always hurt people, honey. You better just forget about me. I'll just end up hurting you too. Stunned, Jeremy keeps trying to be supportive until Kathy comes down. Thanks, love. You are an angel. My brother by choice, Kathy says. These types of conversations continued over a period of several months. Kathy became more and more dependent on Jeremy's continued support. He sent her flowers on her birthday and a journal to encourage her to write her feelings down. Things turned for the worse a few months later, with Kathy just a couple of days past Christmas. Jeremy received a panic text from Kathy. Are you there? I need you. Jeremy texted her back that he was here for her. Kathy goes on to say she all of a sudden needs to borrow $10,000 for a new roof and a heater. Stunned again by Kathy, Jeremy didn't know what to do, so he says he doesn't have that kind of money. Kathy then blew up on him texting. What do you mean? That's a lie. I know you have a lot of money. Jeremy then remembers he told her one night while intoxicated after a party that he had had a six-figure job before and sent his mother $18,000 to help save her house. But that was many years ago. Kathy, I used to years ago, but since my illness, I don't make that kind of money anymore. I'm literally broke for the most part, Jeremy says in a text. That's crap and you know it. You just don't want to give it to me. Some brother you are. What a joke that is, Kathy types. Jeremy decides to just not text back, but Kathy continues sending nasty texts. She also starts sending nasty personal messages online. Jeremy finally tells her in a personal message and text to leave him alone and never contact him again. Jeremy hoped her harassment was over, but on New Year's Eve, he gets a text from Kathy that says, Happy New Year from Minnesota. She sent it her local time. Jeremy texts her back, Need to move on and say goodbye in the new year. Always will pray to God for the best for you, but please sever our ties. We tried and it didn't work. Have a great life. Please do not contact me again and leave me alone now. Kathy responds, very nasty texting. You are a liar and a fake. You never cared about me, and I don't need your prayers. Jeremy just ignores her. But then she started calling, along with texting. After 32 calls in a row, Jeremy picks up the phone. Flashback to present. Jeremy decides to call the police in Kathy's hometown first, but they said it was a Los Angeles matter, since the harassment is happening there. So he calls his local police station, and two officers come out. However, they explain they are swamped because it's New Year's Eve and ask Jeremy to go to the police station tomorrow to file a police report. When he does, he is there, and he also changes his phone number. He deletes an email address Kathy had for him, and on the following day obtains a temporary restraining order against her. Jeremy now waits to see if the harassment is over. He has concern is that Kathy has his home address. He prays she will just go on to her next victim and finally leave him alone. But he has had a feeling it might not ever be over, like Kathy said, until they die.
And we are back. Isn't that a crazy story? There are so many people out there that miss or ignore all the red flags that the person they are dealing with might be mentally unstable and eventually try to hurt them. I have known a few people like that that have had crazy experiences. How about you, Cal? Or anyone else that's listening that wants to call in? Do you know anyone that had to deal with an obsessed person or a stalker? Have you ever had to deal with one? I know you mentioned the other day about Rebecca Schaefer, someone that you're a fan of now because of her writings. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit. I know she was murdered by an obsessed stalker. many years ago. After she died, we found out she was a writer, and that's what you found out, from what I understand, and then you became a fan of hers. What is her writing like? What does she write about, and what, you know, what do you like about it?
Well, most of her writing is like prose or like poetry. And I don't know, it's just very creative, and the way the words, the way she put them together is just, it's like she was a natural.
Yeah.
And it was a kind of a, I don't know, reading it kind of makes a connection almost to the writer, who she was, you know. And that's a sign of a good writer, is if they can connect to their reader, you know, almost on a personal level, sort of through their words. I mean, even, you know, even decades later, it's just, I think that's a sign of a good writer.
Yeah, that's amazing, because I believe she was murdered like in the 80s. Is that correct?
Yes, 1989.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, that was really a sad story, and I know you and I talked about that already a couple of days ago or so. But I did want to mention, you know, as far as her writing is, you say that it connects to you. If you feel, you know, like you'd like to share that, what exactly about her writing really you feel is a connection to you?
Well, I guess reading through that, the passages, is just kind of... It's hard to explain. It's just
that's okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, but I understand what you're saying. You, when you read it, though, you feel like you understand everything, and then, like you said, she's really presenting who she is, and she sounds like she's a wonderful person. I know I really enjoyed her. You know, back those many years ago, you weren't really alive, right? a lot of people who are younger, you know, don't remember her. But the thing is that when I remember her on the TV shows and everything, and I really liked her a lot. So I'm going to have to check out her writing. Now, is her writing, how do you get her writing? I mean, is it like books or poetry books? Or where can I find out some of her writing and read it?
Oh dear. Well, let me see here. I found it online.
Okay.
On a, she was a, through her acting, she was like a spokesperson for a charity of some kind. Google. I'm going to Google
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah, I can just Google her. Yeah, and just Google
but,
her name.
But I might find it here.
Oh, okay.
Live on the air using Google.
Google is our friend. We love Google.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is on Google. That is so true. But, you know, while you're doing that, I did want to just mention to anyone that's listening is that I myself had a stalker, and it was a very scary experience because, like the guy in the story, which is not my story, just so everyone knows, but what I just want to say is that I had a stalker, too, who always kept wanting more and more of my information, and once I gave it to them, I really regretted it. It was an absolute nightmare. So I really feel for anybody that has a situation like that. I can definitely identify with it. And I guess so many people do have that, you know, these days, you know, with the online and reality shows, and just people start feeling a connection with them, obsession with them, I should say, to the point where they actually research where they live and where they work and, you know, just crazy stuff like that. It's just crazy. So did you find anything yet, or are you still looking?
Yes. I found a website.
Okay, great.
It's thursdayschild.org/index_dedication.htm. And
okay.
And it showcases her writing. It was just select poetry, you know. And she must have written it in private with family or whatever, and then it was
mm-hmm.
some of it was made public. So, but
Well, you know, I know a situation like that personally. A friend of mine, she had an unfortunate accident where she was riding her bike, and it was just over a year ago, and she got hit by a truck, and she got killed. And nobody had any idea that she writes stories and poetry, mainly stories, short stories and things like that. So after she passed away, her sister found all of her writing and started publishing it. So really it's kind of like a similar story a little bit, you know. So, but she was an excellent, oh my God, she was just amazing, her vocabulary and just the way she just would speak. I mean, just so amazing. You would read something, you'd be like, okay, I got to look that word up, I got to look that word up, you know. She was very articulate. Well, thank you so much, Cal, for that information, and I'll definitely look it up and make sure I have the correct website a little bit later when we talk again to look that up, because I'm really interested in it now. I just wanted to say, we only have a few minutes left. Is there anything else going on with you, Cal, that you wanted to talk about tonight, or you know, that you feel comfortable talking about, or?
Well, not really, I guess.
No, no pressing issue. You know? I know, me either. I think that we had a nice conversation, and like I mentioned in the beginning, in the intro, I was mentioning that the show is 30 minutes long right now, but very soon we'll go back to at least a one-hour show, but we're going to have each show now for 30 minutes. We'll have one to two topics, and we'll just see how that goes, and then we'll increase that a little bit later. But it looks like we are out of time. So I wanted to thank you, Cal, for calling in. I know this has been a difficult day for you, and I appreciate your support for calling in. And anyone else that was listening to the show, hopefully we'll get you to call in next week too. And in the meantime, you know, just join us next Saturday at 8 o'clock for our next 30-minute episode. But for now, I just want to wish you, Cal, and everyone else a good night, and we'll talk soon. Okay, mm-hmm. So you guys have a great Easter and a great weekend.
You too, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.